Luke chapter number 7. I praise God that He's given me a godly wife. Raising my babies. And she is the one that taught them to sing and told them of Jesus. Luke chapter number 7. I want to tell you a story from the Bible, of course, about a wife, about a mother who thought she had lost it all. She thought that all was done. She thought there was no more hope. And then Jesus showed up. May I tell you this morning, perhaps you are here this morning, you may not be a mother, you may be a father, you may not have any children physically, but you have an influence on people's lives, and you may feel like life is done. You may feel like you have messed up, you may feel like nobody cares, you may feel like it is over and done with. May I tell you that Jesus always shows up right on time. This mama who we're going to be introduced to in just a second, I can imagine the morning of the funeral. She probably didn't have a very good night's rest knowing that the next day she'd be taking her own son, her very only son, and taking him to a graveyard. She woke up that morning realizing and thinking that she would never see her son again. Her husband had already died. Don't know how many years ago he had died, but we know that she was a widow. We don't know what he died of, and we don't know what her son died of, and we don't know how their economic status was, but at this time period, widows were not well off. Most of the time, a widow only had their family, and oftentimes they were very, very poor, and now this poor woman has lost not only her husband, but now her son, and she really had no way to live. She had nobody support her. And maybe her outlook on life was she was going to be a beggar for the rest of her life and probably not live very much longer. And she had no hope. Now, she had heard of Jesus. I'm sure that word had filtered into Nain by this time. But she didn't know where Jesus was. But she had heard the name, I'm sure. But I promise you that when she woke up that day, she was not thinking that Jesus would show up. She was just simply trying to cope for that day. And maybe some of you are here this morning the same way. You're just simply putting one foot in front of the other. You know what the future holds, or at least you think what the future holds, because it's something that you've been used to. And it takes all you have to simply get out of bed and just walk on daily. Some of your spiritual lives are the same way. You're struggling. Maybe you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, but every day is a spiritual struggle. You're tired of failing. You're tired of every single time Satan puts his old foot out there with temptation that you fall over it. And you're wondering, when is this going to be over? I've had enough. Or maybe you're like this young man and you're dead. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Brian. I'm alive. I'm sitting here this morning. I'm listening to you. Well, you may be physically alive, but perhaps you're spiritually dead. The Bible says that before Jesus is our Savior, that we're all dead in our trespasses and our sins. For the wages of sin is death. And that death is not only physical death, because sin will lead you to die. That death is a spiritual death, an eternal separation from God, a sin that will cause you to be separated from Him for eternity unless you repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Jesus and Jesus alone. So maybe that's what you're like this morning. Maybe you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Now don't sit there and think, well, Brother Brian, how dare you judge me? I'm not judging you. I'm only bringing this up because I love you. I care about your soul. See, we all have a soul inside of us, and all of us have to determine and choose Jesus or reject Jesus. You reject Jesus, you're going to die for eternity, never to have a hope. Receive Jesus Christ, your Savior, you have eternal life. And so this widow, don't know how old she was, she woke up that morning with no hope, wondering how was she going to make it. May I tell you this morning, when Jesus shows up, hope arrives. Here in Luke chapter number 7, verse number 11, and it came to pass the day after Jesus had left the last place, it came to pass the day after that he, Jesus, went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. So as Jesus went part to place, as he continued on his journey, more people were picking up and more people were coming along with him, seeing what he was doing. And may I tell you right now also, nothing happens by accident in God's kingdom. Well, you're not here by accident. This is a divine appointment that you are at Victory Baptist Church in Bryson City, North Carolina on May the 14th, 2017, because God ordained it. Nothing happens by happenstance. Well, I know, Brother Brian, it's Mother's Day, and so I figured I'd honor my mama and my grandmother or whoever, and I showed up this morning. I'm glad you're here. But may I tell you, you didn't do it because you decided to. You did it because God brought you here. See, Jesus didn't do anything out of accident. He didn't just so happen to go to Nain. He went there on purpose. Jesus does everything for a reason. Now, we may not understand it here on this earth, and we may never understand all the circumstances, but I promise you, one day it will be clear. Romans 8:28, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. So he goes to Nain, and he shows up outside of the gates. Verse 12. Now when he, speaking of Jesus, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out. And then we see the identification of this dead man, the only son of his mother. And then we learn her identification. She was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So she woke up that morning. They gathered the dead body. They put it on a pyre, with it was like a stretcher. And they carried the body outside of the city. Now, they did not bury bodies inside of the walled city because they were disease-ridden. They would start stinking and start carrying a lot of disease and those kind of things. So they would take the body and they would put them outside of the city. More room and all those kinds of things. And I can imagine her broken heart as she watched her son being carried outside of the city. Now, she had maybe, perhaps made that same journey recently for her husband. Don't know how long it was, but those of you who have lost a spouse, having a spouse die, you know that feeling. And now, her only son is being carried out the same way. And there's sorrow, and there's pain, and there's anguish. And all she can think is, I'm never going to see him again. And then Jesus shows up. And when the Lord saw her, look what it says. He hated her and judged her. Is that what the Bible says? He had compassion on her. many of you raised your hands a few moments ago saying that your mama's already gone on to heaven? You know what Jesus says this morning? I love you. Many of you have sick ones. Fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, aunts, grandparents, whoever it is. May I tell you something that Jesus wants me to tell you? He says, I love you. He has compassion on you. He doesn't sit up in heaven saying, oh good, oh they're getting what they deserve. He says, no, my child, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. When he saw the widow, he knew everything about her because he's God. And he had compassion on her. May I help you out this morning? Maybe you are here without Jesus. And maybe you were concerned like I was at one time in my life that you walk into a church building and you're afraid the walls are going to fall down on you because you're so sinful. I used to make the bragging statement before I got saved, well, if I ever walked in a church, they'd fall down because I'm such a horrible person. I used that as an excuse not to go to church. And maybe this morning you've come in and you feel that way. And all you're concerned about is judgment. You're concerned about this one pointing this out about you. And you're concerned about that one pointing out. And you're concerned that maybe God hates you and God is going to destroy you. May I tell you this morning, Jesus has compassion toward you, toward me. How do I know that? Because he died on a cross for you and for me. That's compassion. That's love. That's grace. That's mercy. And he had compassion on this widow, but you know what else? He had compassion, and he has compassion for every single one of you. Even those up in the balcony. He has compassion for you. He knows your status. He knows what you're dealing with. And he has compassion for you today. He had compassion on her, and look what he says to her. Weep not. Please don't cry. That's what he's telling her. It's gonna be okay. Now, we don't see her responding. We don't see her having a conversation with Jesus. We don't see her coming to Jesus. May I tell you this morning, if you ask Jesus Christ to save you, if you get saved, you didn't go to Jesus. Jesus comes to you. The Spirit draws you and says it's time to come. And Jesus says, it's going to be okay. Well, Brother Brian, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how rotten, how filthy I've been. No, I don't. But you don't know how rotten and filthy I've been. Thank God. He knows, but he still died for us. He's not only having compassion on her because she's a widow, he's having compassion on her soul. And that same Jesus that had compassion on that mama, that widow, he's the same Jesus that has compassion this morning for you and for me. Can I get somebody to wave a hanky and say amen this morning? Whew. Thank God for his compassion. And then he says to the widow, he walks over and he comes and he touches the bier. In other words, he touches the pallet that the body was laying on. And they that bear him, those that were carrying him, they stood still. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Now, Martin Luther, he wrote a sermon about this particular thing, and I love what he says about this particular situation. He says, that funeral buyer, that pallet of the body, represents the law. All the law can do is lead us to the grave. The law cannot save us. The law is just something that carries a dead body. But then Jesus shows up with grace. The law can't rise you up. The Ten Commandments cannot save you. But grace prevails every single time. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. They were carrying the law, and then grace arrived. May I tell you, I wasn't even following the law, but grace still arrived. The law is good, but it points us to grace, not instead of grace. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad you can't get saved by following the Ten Commandments? Because the Bible says if you break one, you've broken them all. The wages of sin is death. And I'm glad it didn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through our own good works. If your Bible says that, get rid of it. It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. So he touches that buyer and he says, arise. You know, when he saved my soul, he said to my soul, arise. You know, baptism does not save you, but baptism is a beautiful picture of the death and the burial of the old man and the resurrection of the new man. If you've not been baptized yet, you're missing out on a blessing. You're missing out on an opportunity to show the world that you are dead and buried and risen again in Jesus Christ. That's what baptism's all about. I promise you, look what happens now. He says, arise. And verse 10, and he that was dead sat up. And he began to speak. Now, I don't know what he said. I promise you, he didn't talk about the sports scores. He wasn't talking about the weather. He wasn't talking about his fishing trip. He wasn't speaking about his vacation. You know what he was saying? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. He woke up. How long he'd been dead? We don't know. All I know is that he was dead, but now he's alive. I was dead, but now I'm alive. How about you? I didn't ask you if you were Baptist. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you if you joined a church. I didn't ask you, have you been good? I'm asking you, are you alive? I'm not talking physically, because obviously you are. Well, some of you. I'm talking spiritually. And the only way to be spiritually alive is dying to yourself and living through Jesus. Can you, now just picture this for a minute. The weeping and the wailing and the carrying on that's taking place. Jesus goes over and touches that buyer. That body rises up. And I promise you, there was a holy dance. Woohoo! Ouch. I promise you, she was dancing. I know Baptists don't dance. But I promise you, she wasn't a Baptist. She was celebrating. Yes, my son's alive. Can I get somebody to get happy this morning? We don't want to be a associated with all that. I do. The body got up. And then it says, and he, Jesus, delivered him, the son, to his mother. Come on down, buddy. Come on. There's someone that wants to meet you. Come here. Oh, can you imagine? My son! You're alive! Mama, I'm alive. Don't get your tear ducts running. There's something wrong. And look what happens. And there came a great fear on all. That word fear is not, ah! That word fear is, now, Jesus didn't announce himself. He didn't walk into the place and say, oh, I'm here. JC's on the scene. He didn't do that. There was nothing to see that made him stand out from everybody else except he had a big crowd following him. He just showed up and he did the rising. And when people realized who it was, look what they did. And they glorified God. And they said, the great prophet is risen up among us. God has visited his people. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. And I promise you there was celebrating in the streets. I promise you, it doesn't say, but I promise you, they were shouting hallelujah. There were smiles. It's okay to smile in church. It's okay. We serve a risen Savior who has risen us from the grave of death and sin and given us a new life. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. If you've been risen again through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have nothing to fear. You have no more weeping to endure because Jesus lives. We live also. I can't imagine a better Mother's Day present than the new life of a child. Children, look at me for a minute. That means everybody, because you're all a child of somebody. Can you think of a better way to celebrate Mother's Day than receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and presenting a new life to the world? Can you think of a better thing than if you've been saved, than rededicating yourself, saying, God, I want to serve you, and I want to live the life that you're supposed to for you? I can't think of anything better. Can you think of nothing better than being saved, and maybe you're on the edge and you're getting ready to fall off? Can you think of nothing better than repenting of your sin and turning back to God and saying, Grandma, Mama, guess what? I want to live for Jesus now. Can you think of a better Mother's Day present than that? I can't. What a Mother's Day present. A brand new life. A rededicated life. How about it? The flowers are nice. The perfume and the jewelry. And the cash, those are all nice things. Amen, mamas? Well, I didn't get none of those. But I think you'd agree with me. A brand new life presented would be the best thing that you could see. If you've got children that live out, grandchildren that live out, wouldn't you love to receive a phone call and say, guess what? I asked Jesus to save me today. I promise you, you wouldn't say, okay, good. You'd be dancing. this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. You know that word rumor does not mean a false story. It means of what he had done. How do you suppose that word got spread? By all those people who saw it. Have you seen a new life? Have you seen Jesus rise somebody from the spiritual grave? If you have you told somebody about it? That's how it gets spread. They didn't go home and close the doors and say, well, it's a personal thing, and I don't want to make anybody offended, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want to lose any friendship, so we're just going to kind of keep this clustered up. And if somebody asks me, I'll tell them, but we'll just kind of, are you kidding me? She was running through the streets. My son's alive! My son's alive! My son's alive! Woohoo! Let me tell you what Jesus did. That's it. A mother who had no hope that very morning had hope because Jesus showed up. Do you have hope this morning? Are you on the edge? Do you feel like you have nothing left? May I tell you, the Bible clearly teaches that where two or more are gathered together in His name, there He is present. He tells us in the book of Hebrews, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now either Jesus is lying or He's telling the truth. How many of you tend to believe Jesus is telling the truth? So then why do you think that you're all alone? Why do you think that you've got to handle it yourself? Why do you have no hope? Either Jesus is a liar or He's telling us the truth. My God's mighty. My God is salvation. My God's the creator. My God cares. Does yours? So won't you come this morning? Ye who have no hope, won't you come and let us show you from the Bible how you can have hope through Jesus Christ? You say, Brother Brian, I've already done that. Well, maybe this morning you feel like you're all alone. Won't you come to an old-fashioned altar and say, oh God, help me to live knowing that you are with me. Maybe you've got a loved one or friend who's living that way. That widow woke up that morning with no hope. She went to bed that night praising Jesus for what He had done because He showed up. And I believe Jesus is here. How about you? My God is alive. How about yours? How about yours? Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. Stretch. There you go. Reach for the sky. Stretch. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, please. I don't want anybody to be embarrassed because a lot of people, they don't make decisions because they get embarrassed easy. But let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, how many of you know for certain that Jesus is your Savior? Would you raise your hand just as a testimony, thanking God that He saved you? Amen. Amen. Put your hands down. Praise the Lord. How many of you this morning, though, would say, Brother Brian, I'm not sure. I always wonder sometimes, or sometimes it's a battle with me. But if anybody could know, I would like to know. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that at all? Just say, Brother Brian, I'd like to know. Would you pray for me? Just lift your hand up this morning. All right, I see that hand. Anybody else? Brother Brian, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know. Anybody else? Just be honest. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm going to pray for you. Third question. How many of you Christians? Maybe you feel like there's no hope. Maybe you feel like, you know what? I don't know who Jesus is anymore. And I really need to have his presence in my life. Would you lift your hand? Just be honest this morning. Would you lift your hand this morning? Thank you for your honesty. God knows your heart. He loves you. He doesn't hate you. He's here. Come to him. Tell him. He will do what needs to be done. Father, you know our hearts. I thank you for all the hands that went up this morning saying they know you as their Savior. But God, there's some who couldn't raise them. I pray, God, that this morning they would finally give up the fight and they would come to you asking you to be their Savior. For those precious souls that raised their hand just a minute ago saying they weren't sure, may they seek me or someone else out. Let us show them from the Bible how they can trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. I can't save anybody, but I would love to show somebody how to be saved. And for those precious souls this morning that feel like there's no hope, oh, they're saved, but maybe they're scared. Maybe they're concerned, and they need hope again. Would you flood them with hope this morning? In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed, I ask you to come this morning. Maybe you want to bring your mama. But won't you come this morning? Just hit this old-fashioned altar. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come?